Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake, and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the stories in the Bible that give us encouragement, that give us hope. And Lord, I pray that we would also be challenged from this. Help us to be challenged to stand for you, even though we are sometimes perhaps presented with trials that might come. And Lord, I pray that we would give you above everything, give you the glory that you deserve when you show yourself strong. And Lord, I pray for the folks here this morning. I thank you for each and every one of them. I pray that you would just guide the lesson this morning. I pray that you'd help my words to be fitting and help me to honor you. Lord, I pray that you'd help our pastor, help souls be saved this morning. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've kind of gotten, last week we talked about the importance of living a principled life, and how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had chose before this moment, they had chose to serve God. And we talked about the importance of making decisions ahead of time, because in the heat of the moment, many times our judgment is tainted, if you would, by the situation that might be in front of us. So the importance of making decisions, the importance of walking uprightly, walking with integrity, living a principled life. This week, I want to be an encouragement to you about making it through the fire. And you know, there's going to be times in life that we all go through a fire time, and it's not a pleasant time. Okay, but I want to challenge, give you just maybe four things, and we're going to look at a few other places in the Bible and one other story, and then we'll be done. But making it through the fire. So we have this story about the three boys. They did what they were supposed to. Last week, we learned about that. They lived by principle. They decided that we are going to serve God no matter what happens, no matter what obstacles are presented in front of us. And because of that, there is a penalty. The world imposed a penalty on them. And the world presented with them a burning fiery furnace. Now, this, I don't know how hot. I mean, I've been around some pretty hot fires. I don't know how hot of a fire this had to be. But the Bible says that the men that bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the strongest men in Nebuchadnezzar's army, they go to throw these boys in there, and the fire is so hot that it kills them. That's pretty hot fire. I don't know how hot that fire would have to be, but that is extremely... I mean, I've been around a lot of hot fires, but not like foundry-type fires. But this is... That's pretty extreme, that it would kill somebody that is just close to it. They're not even in the fire. And that's amazing to me that, I mean, that's how mad Nebuchadnezzar was at this point. So they throw him in the fire, and I think Nebuchadnezzar, you know, in some ways his pride is overtaking, and he's sitting there and he's inwardly satisfied that he got his way. And he looks in the fire, and all of a sudden, he knows what he threw in there. And he knows, you know, they should have been, I mean, almost, I mean, if it's hot enough to kill people just throwing them in, it ought to be almost, I mean, they ought to be literally on fire, okay? And their Bible says they fell down bound in the fire. And he's standing there, and, you know, in some way, I'm sure there's a sick satisfaction in watching these three boys, young men, and all of a sudden he leans forward and he starts looking, and he jumps up and he goes over there and he calls to some of the men standing beside him, "Didn't we throw three people in there?" And I'm sure at this point, I mean, they're all interested because he's interested, and I think probably some of them come over and they're like, "Yeah, we only threw three young men in there." And Nebuchadnezzar's like, "Well, I see four men up and walking around, and the fourth one," and it's amazing to me how Nebuchadnezzar knew this, "but the fourth one is as the son of God." Does it say God or man? I don't know. God, okay? The son of God. Now, how in the world did Nebuchadnezzar know that? You know, I think when we stand before Jesus Christ up in heaven, there will be no doubt in our minds who we stand before. I think his eyes, I don't know if Nebuchadnezzar standing there looking, and the Son of God turned and looked at Nebuchadnezzar, and there was no mistaking in his eyes who that was. I don't know. How could a heathen king know what the Son of God looked like? I don't know what the Son of God looks like, but I think at the time when I see Jesus Christ, there will need to be no introduction. When you stand before Jesus Christ, there will need to be no introduction. You will know. And for those that aren't saved, I believe that will be one of the most terrifying times in your life. When you stand before Jesus Christ and you know that you're not saved, that would be terrifying. There's an interesting track. I don't know if it's back there right now. And I don't know the exact title, but it says something like this: "Suppose it is true after all. Suppose it is true after all." You know, the most of the world, they say, "Well, what you believe, you just believe in a religion." Okay? I do. But there's a peace. Brother Chad, how do you know that, you know, what you believe is real? Because there is a peace that passeth all understanding that I have, that I cannot explain. But let's say, regardless of that, the life that we live, the Christian life, is a good life. There's comfort. What does the world do when things go bad? Who do they run to? Anyway, but when a sinner stands before Jesus Christ and he knows that that's Jesus Christ, I think it will be a very terrifying time. It was true. What those people said was true. And I'm standing here guilty. So I think that will be terrifying. But Nebuchadnezzar recognized Nebuchadnezzar recognized that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was in the fire. And do you notice verse number 25? The Bible says, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose." Four men loose. You know, the world can put whatever bounds it wants on the Christian as far as laws or limitations. But when it comes to the power of God, God has the ability to free us from those bonds. So that is a comforting thing. All right, so I'm going to give you four things here, and then we're going to look at another story in the Bible. So making it through the fire. Number one, stand for your conviction. We talked about that briefly last week. Verse number 21, I want you to show you something. "Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and other garments." Now, that may be something silly, all right? But you know, I believe that you ought to stand for your conviction. And we could go back to where they stood for what they believed. They said, "No, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter, O king." They said, "This isn't even an option for us. We're going to stand for what's right, and we're going to do what's right." When trials come, when pressure comes in life, and it could be a trial of life, it could be a sickness, it could be something with your kids, it could be financial, a trial. I'm talking about anything that is a fire time in life. Stand for your convictions. Well, I could, if I don't do this, if I work on Sunday, okay, it's going to help me with my bills, but I don't believe I should, okay? Well, at some point, you got to stand for your conviction. You know, these young men, they stood for their conviction. They said, "No, we'll take the consequences, regardless of what happens, we'll take the consequences." Well, you have to dress this certain way or you can't work here. Well, then I'll go find someplace else to work. You know, I always thought, I think my dad kind of, he didn't directly sit down and teach me this, but through life principles, he taught me this. If I'm a hard enough worker, and I'm a better worker than anybody else, which a Christian ought to be, a better worker than anybody else, my convictions and the things that I believe in, they won't want to lose. If I'm a good enough worker, they will accommodate my convictions in order to keep me working for them. And if they don't, somebody is out there that will. Okay? Somebody is out there that will. If I prove myself to be hard. Now, if I'm lazy and I don't work hard, then why should they keep me? Okay? Why? You know, they can go find somebody else that will do what they want to do. Okay? So stand for your convictions. Don't give up those convictions. Look at verse number, go over here to verse number 27. And I'm going to probably hit this later, just a second. I thought this was kind of neat, and that may not be real imperative, but verse number 27, down at the bottom of the verse, Bible says, "Nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed." Neither were their coats changed. You know, they didn't change their... You say, "Brother Chad, that just means that their clothing wasn't burnt." Well, yeah, that does. But you know, a lot happens when a lot of people go through a trial is they change what they believe. They change their convictions. Now, I know this doesn't necessarily represent that here in every way, but I believe it could be an application about not changing your convictions. So stand for your convictions. And I'm going to talk about that here in a moment. So stand for your convictions. Making it through the fire. Stand for your conviction. Brother Chad, doesn't that cause you to go through the fire if you stand for your conviction? Well, sometimes the only way to see the fourth man is to stand for your convictions. Sometimes God is only proven powerful, and we'll see this later, when you go through the fire. I don't think the three Hebrew boys would have ever seen the Son of God unless they went through that fire. Not in their life, okay? So stand for your convictions. Number two, stay with God in your trials. Stay with God in your trials. No matter what, God is... me and Preacher were... I don't remember if it was me and Preacher. We were talking about it sometime. Actually, it was a young lady. We were talking about it a couple weeks ago. A young lady we were trying to help. She knows what's right. She knows what's wrong. Okay? And we were talking about sometimes it seems like God's far away. But you know, God never leaves. God, the Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. But you know what happens is we leave him and we forsake him. God is in the same spot all the time. He's always there. But the times that it seems like God's far away from us, it's not that God is far away from us. I am far away from God. You know the blessing about I talked to a man yesterday on visitation, and he was talking about, oh yeah, my kids used to ride the bus to church. The red bus. My kids used to ride the bus. He's like, my kids are, they're almost 40 now. And I said, you know, I told him, I said, yeah, we still run the same buses. The church is still in the same place. And thanks to you folks, a lot of the people are still in the same pews. You know, and in some ways, we've never left. We're still the same. They just left. Okay? And that's the way God is. God is in the same spot all the time. You know, every morning, he would love for you to come talk to him. He's in the same spot every morning, waiting for you. You know, when Adam and Eve, if you go back to the book of Genesis and Adam and Eve, the Bible says they walked with God in the morning. And then God showed up one morning and their meeting spot, Adam and Eve weren't standing there. And he said, Adam, where art thou? You know, I think God sometimes in the mornings, he comes and says, Chad, I'm here. Where are you? It's our time. It's our time to walk together. It's our time to spend some time together. Where are you? He's in this. God is faithful. He's always in the same spot. But it's me that gets out of kilter. It's me that leaves. And God will be with you in the fire. I promise you that. You may not understand it. You may not want it. Okay? But God will be with you in the fire. So stay with God in your trials. Don't leave. When the pressure gets there, don't leave God. All right? God will be there just like he is when their trials aren't there. So don't leave God. Number three, your trial is over when God is revealed. Your trial is over when God is revealed. You know, it was interesting. I don't know how long they've laid there. Maybe they laid there for a while. I don't know. But you know, when God showed up is when the trial was over. He said, when Nebuchadnezzar saw the fourth man in there, he called in the fire and said, hey, come out here. I want you to come out here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out here. I want to talk to you. Come forth and come hither, the Bible says. And they came out. And you know, at that point, their trial was over. So your trial is over when God is revealed. Brother Chad, this is an ongoing thing. But you know what? God is still there. And he's still strong, and he's still powerful. You know, honestly, and I'm just going to say this, this is easier to talk about than it is to live. It's easier to tell the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego than it would be for me to stand there and have to go through what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through. I hope by the grace of God that if that stuff ever happens, that I can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's been neat. It's not neat. And I don't keep up as much as some of you have kept up with it, but the Vandercleed family that just lost their son Logan. You know, sometimes you think, well, I couldn't go through that. I couldn't do that. But you know, we don't have to. God didn't ask me to go through that. And because of that, God did not give me the grace to go through that. Some of you have been through things that are terrible or, you know, very trying in your life. And, you know, but God has given you the grace to go through that. And that's the importance of staying close to God. If you leave and say, well, I'm just done with this, okay, then you don't have the fourth man in the fire with you, okay? That's the importance of staying close to God. Stay with God in your trials. And I don't, Brother Chad, you don't understand. I don't. I make no claims to understanding what you've gone through. I don't even try to. I don't tell people I understand what you're going through, because most of the time I don't. I'm not going to lie to you. But there is somebody that does understand, and somebody that will be with you through the fire. So your trial's over when God is revealed. God will give you the strength. God will give you the strength to go through that. The last thing is, and then we're going to go look at a couple other things, glorify God after the trial. Glorify God after the trial. And it may not be that you have to, you know, there are some things that God gets glory from even though you may not say anything. Just the way you live your life gives God the glory. Okay? Look at verse number 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on. That is awesome. Think about that. Okay, are you thinking, are you mentally engaged in this? Because they just, Nebuchadnezzar just saw however many of his mighty men just fall over dead because the fire was so hot. And then he sees three young men walk out of that fire. Their hair's not singed. I mean, I've done some things where I've singed my hair extensively. Okay? Now, you don't need to know what they were. Most of them involves stupidity on my part. Okay? But, you know, you got to get the fire going somehow. So, you know, it just takes a little accelerant sometimes. But, you know, there have been several times. I mean, And it doesn't take a lot of fire to burn your hair off. Okay? Believe me, I know. Okay? But they didn't, their hair wasn't singed. They didn't, their clothes were not changed. The fire had no power over them. No power. And the smell of fire, they didn't even smell like smoke. You ever smelt burnt flesh? It stinks. I mean, it's got a very distinct smell to it. And the smell of burning hair has a very distinct smell to it. But just the smell of fire, I mean, smoke and fire, I don't know, they had to fuel this fire some way. I don't know how they fueled it, but it had to have a, they come out, they didn't stink. They didn't smell at all. And that's amazing. And anyway, sorry, I got off on the amazement of that. Then verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. This was a conscious decision by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had to yield their own bodies. And God requires us to make an individual. You know, it's a blessing that there were three of them. I don't know if one of them was stronger than the others and said, this is what we're doing. Or if all three of them, if they had to go by themselves in the fire, if they would have went by themselves. Yeah, it is a blessing to have friends that serve God. And you know, I have friends that serve God. And it's easier to stand when there's three of you than it is to stand when there's one of you. And I am thankful that there are three young men here. You know, I'm thankful for the older folks in this room that we as younger people have been able to stand and watch you go through trials and watch you come out better on the other side. Thank you for that. Because we know that we don't have to do it. We can see that. Can you imagine, and this goes along with giving God the glory for the trial, but can you imagine the story that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could tell to their kids. I want to sit down with these three young men, and I want to hear a firsthand account about this. You know, I mean, it's different when somebody tells the story from their own perspective. So what did it look like, Shadrach, when you're in the midst of the fire and you look down and the ropes are gone, but you still have all your clothes on and you don't feel any pain and you look out of the fire? A different perspective. You're looking out of the fire and you see Nebuchadnezzar looking at you. And then you look over to the side and there's a son of God standing right next to you. And that to me would be amazing. Just to hear him. Can you imagine what his grandkids, the story his grandkids got? Let me ask you this. If you've been through a fire and you've been through a trial, are you willing to tell your kids about it? I guarantee that Shadrach, Meshach, and, you know, show and tell at school for their grandkids. Hey, this is my grandpa, Shadrach. Let him tell his story to you. That would be amazing. So give God the glory. Tell it to your kids. Tell it to your grandkids. You know, the young people, we here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, the young people need to know the miracles that have happened here. They don't remember when this church was started. Most of the young people in our youth group right now, they don't remember the additions that we've put on this church. A lot of the young people that we have in our youth group right now, they were too young to help with this building in any, besides maybe sweeping the floor, okay? You know what we need to do? We need to tell them about those things. It goes along with remembrance, all right? So we see a few different things here. I'm going to take you to Zechariah chapter number 13. We're going to look at three passages, and then we'll tell you that last story in John. Zechariah chapter number 13. Verse number 9. Zechariah chapter 13, verse number 9. The Bible says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." Going through the fire will draw you closer to God if you'll allow it to. It will. I don't necessarily speak from experience, because God, honestly, have there been things in your life, Brother Chad? Yeah, but it's nothing like most of what you've gone through. Everybody in this room, you have had something at some point. I mean, you're not married for 67 and 60 years, okay, without going through trials, without going through fire times. God doesn't give you that amount of life without going through some things. And, you know, you need to give God the glory for those things and honor God in those. But it makes us better. It makes us better people. You know, silver, when it's first put in, is ore. But until it's refined, it's not as valuable as what it was before it went in. But it comes out more valuable than when it went in. And we see that in Zechariah chapter number 13, verse 9. But God will send us through the fire. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Look at verse number 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, which I don't get this, but it goes along with what we're talking about. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Why should I rejoice in that? Why would I rejoice in heaviness through manifold temptations? Why? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto what? The praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Exactly what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It glorified God at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ showed up in that fire, you know what? Who Nebuchadnezzar glorified? It wasn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, praise be to your God. Okay? He glorified God in that. I don't understand why people go through things. I don't understand why, you know, Case had to go through what he's gone through, or the Vandercleets had to go through what they've gone through. Wow, I don't understand those things. But you know, in both of those situations, you know who's gotten the glory? Is God. You look at the things that Lisa Vandercleet has said. My wife has showed me just a few of them. Almost all the time, almost every time, she glorifies God in some way. You look at, I mean, I don't know what she puts it on. It's some kind of thing. She writes stuff. But she does. She glorifies God in that. Okay? So maybe that's the reason they had, I wouldn't want to go through that. But I hope if I have to stand in that fire, that I also bring glory and honor to God. Go to John chapter number 9. John chapter number 9. The disciples here ask a question that we ask a lot. John chapter number 9. I want to maybe leave you with this last story, maybe give you a little comfort in this story, or something to mull over anyway. John chapter number 9, the Bible says, and as Jesus, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The disciples here are asking the same question that all of us ask. Why is this happening? Essentially, that's why they're asking. Why did this happen? Why is this boy born blind? It's not fair. Did he sin? Did his parents sin? Why did this happen? Is this the hand of God judging them for their sin? They're asking what we ask. Okay? Why do I have this sickness, God? Am I out of your will? And that's a good thing to ask. Because sometimes it is. But a lot of times that's not the answer. Okay? Jesus gives them the answer. Verse number 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. They're fine. Nobody sinned here. Look at, we'll keep reading. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Brother Chad, why do people go through bad things? Is it because they've done something wrong? Probably a lot of times, no. I'd say 90% of the time. It's not because somebody has sinned. Why? That the works of God may be manifest in him. Why did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go through the fire? Was it because they sinned? No. Actually, it was the exact opposite. It was because they were doing what was right. But why did they have to go through the fire? Well, maybe it was so that the Son of God may have been manifested to Nebuchadnezzar. Brother Chad, why am I going through this? Why is my family going through this? I don't know. But stay with God in the trial. Don't leave God. I'm going to compromise so I don't have to go through the fire. Don't do that. Because then the Son of God will not be made manifest in your life. The world won't see the Son of God in us. I believe that there will be times in all of our lives. You know, I'm fairly young, okay? I am younger than my wife, by the way. She's young and beautiful. But she robbed the cradle. I robbed, you know. Anyway, I'm just stop right there. There's a trial coming. So as by fire. So as by fire. I don't even know where I was going with that. Dig it out. I'm going to have to get the excavator for this one. we're young. But you know, God's, I'm sure that in life there's going to be hard times ahead of us. And it's, like I said, it's easy to stand up here and talk about this. It's a lot harder when you're going through it and it's hot, it's uncomfortable. And I honestly, with all my heart, I want to stay faithful. I want to stay faithful to God. Because I don't know who's watching me and who's watching my reaction to what I'm going through. And like I said, there's some of you that you've been through things I can't even imagine. But isn't it interesting how God may require you to go through the fire, but God is always there with you in the fire if you're with Him? Now, you can always leave. But the place, if the boys would have left the fire, they would have left the Son of God. And sometimes the only place that you can be closest to God is in that fire. So something to mull over, something to think about. But I do, I want to stay faithful to God. And I hope He's honored and glorified in my life. Let's pray. Father, thank You for all that You do for us. Thank You for the times of life that we don't understand. Lord, thank You for the illustrations that we see if we'll just open our eyes of Your grace and Your mercy. I pray, Lord, that we'd stay faithful to You. Thank You for those in here that have been faithful through a lot of things. Thank You for my mom and dad and their anniversary this week, and the Townsley's anniversary this week, and the Maori's anniversary. And Lord, just how You have set us an example, younger people an example of faithfulness to You and just standing steadfast. Lord, I love You. Thank You for Your love for me. In Jesus' name, amen.